about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Silence, children. Silence. First, an announcement. We have a treat for you guys today.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Who am I? What is this realm? What is up there in the night sky? Where is the edge to this beautiful flat earth? Is the ocean blue because the sky is blue? Is the sky blue because that's God's favorite color because he's a boy? These are some of the questions that keep me and Baxter up at night. We go back and forth, trading our thoughts and feelings. The other night, we were talking about, what if our feet were our hands and our hands were our feet? I mean, the randomness of it all. It's just astonishing.
And now...
Hey, Sam.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, this is just unlovely.
Yeah! Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. It is Tuesday morning, the 18th of February.
Yeah.
Oh, what mic are you on there? You're on green, sorry.
Green. No worries.
Blue doesn't work anymore?
It's kind of...
Giving up on it?
Here's the thing.
Okay.
Blue and green kind of flip in between of giving us a little bit of a weird sound. So rather than fix it here at the station, I thought it was smart to just switch between them.
Makes sense.
I mean, it's very K-Rock of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, well, this one sounds bad today. Let's go back to the other one.
Have we told anyone? About it, that?
Within the station?
Yeah.
Who knows? At this point, who knows? But yeah, no. Green good
green,
for
okay.
now, yeah.
All right.
And then when green gets bad,
you go to yellow.
I'll go
back to blue.
Just blue.
Okay.
Just letting you know.
All right. How was the long weekend?
It was great. I love a long weekend.
Me too.
We should really look into doing this more.
We have. We've looked into having off Fridays.
Yeah.
We think that it should be a national sort of law or regulation.
I agree.
We haven't gone very far in it.
It was wonderful.
What did you do? Nothing? Catch up on TV?
Yeah, a lot of TV.
Mm-hmm.
Had a friend over Saturday night, and we made the mistake of watching the new Netflix dating show, Love is Blind.
So this got a lot of tweets to us.
Oh, my God.
Because is this the new My Feet Are Killing Me?
No. It's a dating show where you don't meet the person until you're engaged.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, and by don't meet, you actually don't see them. There's no interaction because you're in these pods, and you just talk in these pods to each other.
Okay.
Within 3 days, people were saying, "I'm so in love with you. I've never felt this way."
What?
My friend and I were screaming at the television. It was the most obscene, insane thing I've ever witnessed, and I couldn't stop. I hate shows like this, and I could not click fast enough to watch next episode. But I think there's 5 episodes, and then more come out on Thursday. It's insane.
But you didn't like it.
I hated it so much, and I had to keep watching to find out. Like, there's no way that you fall in love with a person within a few days of talking to each other. You just don't. You're insane. You're so either so desperate for love, or you just want to be on TV, which, Jessica, I'm talking to you. It's just, it's awful.
Question.
And great.
Question.
Yeah.
Is it the MTV type of casting? Very attractive people in each of these pods?
No one's ugly, for sure.
All
so
right.
It just depends
on... You don't have to dodge that bullet. You know going in.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be... There are levels to the attractiveness.
Right.
But there are definitely... You're not going to go, oh, no, that's not someone I wanted. But it is terrible.
Yeah.
And I hate my friend for saying, let's just watch one and see how we feel. 5 hours later, we were like, oh, when's Thursday?
But when is Thursday?
Then we realized Thursday is when it always is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Same place in the week.
Yeah, we lost brain cells watching the show.
Funny, I had a similar situation last night.
Yeah?
You did.
My wife directs Disney TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
That's like her thing. And she's always around teenagers or, you know, young kids directing them and acting. And she came home and she goes, this kid Sky, who we love, she's an actress. She goes, put me in her TikTok.
Oh, no.
And I go, oh. And she goes, yeah, we did this dance or whatever. I was terrible in it. But anyway, she put me in her TikTok. I go, okay. And then we're sitting around the other night and she goes, I'm going to see if she put up my TikTok. And I go, you're going to download TikTok? She goes, yeah, let's see if she put it up. I want to see it. I go, okay. Oh, so no. She downloads TikTok and she goes, oh, she hasn't put it up yet. I go, oh, that's a bummer. And then, you know, I start hearing like little music coming from her phone or like voices or and I'm like, and it's like an hour later and I go, are you just checking out TikTok now? She goes, yeah, it's pretty good. I go, it's not good. It's just kids dancing and singing. It's like not, it's actually not good.
Yeah.
Like you say it's good, but the funny part is it's the exact
not
opposite.
At all. Yeah.
It's not good.
Okay.
And she goes, I don't know. Okay. And then she goes, oh, I downloaded my name. I got Danielle Fischel 8.
Who are the first seven?
I go, who, yeah, good question. It's a good question. And she goes, yeah. And then she goes, I'm going to try this. And so I start to see her put the phone up, and she's sort of like dancing around. And
oh,
like, and
Danielle.
I was like, Danielle, this is a very bad idea. Don't
Danielle.
Do this. This is very bad. And so she goes, okay. And so she backs off it. Mm-hmm. And then last night, she convinced me to do this TikTok video of like our hands. I'll have to show you during a break.
Okay.
But yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I saw it too. I wasn't going to mention that.
I think we're on TikTok now.
No, you're definitely
well,
on
not.
TikTok.
It's not my name.
You're TikTokers.
But you are. Then we looked up and it was like 8:30 and we'd started at like 5.
What?
It was very embarrassing.
Whoa.
I'm very embarrassed.
Wow.
Are you going to get on TikTok?
I don't believe so.
Are you
I
sure?
Nothing without my following.
Okay.
Right, but I don't believe
so. But
you
didn't think she would have.
No.
Either.
Oh my God, we made fun of it all the time. And
sure.
Then now we're on it and we're like, you know.
Where's the day gone?
Yeah, check out this 13-year-old Puerto Rican kid who learned how to do a crazy rain dance. Like we're like trying to figure out the best ones.
Kevin, how about you? Anything as exciting as our weekend?
Yes, I can't stop watching and hating The Bachelor. Same thing.
Really?
Yeah,
same thing as you.
Okay. We're all disgusting people.
We really are.
Just
gross.
Hate it.
Yeah.
And watch it.
The guy's awful this year, right?
He's terrible.
This year, this month, whoever it is.
Yeah.
Peter?
It's Peter, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a pilot. I don't know if you know that, but in every single episode, he flies into each one and they go to the hangar and...
Wait, literally?
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh.
I was yelling last night. We know he's a pilot! And then I yelled at myself because I was watching The Bachelor.
Yeah.
And then I didn't turn it off.
Yeah.
Do they have a great playing, like a crash person? Someone who's like a mess, drunk all the time or whatever?
No, we're getting to the, yes, there's a drama woman.
Mm-hmm.
Drama, crazy, crazy, crazy drama. And should I give it away? People may have not watched it. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. I mean.
There's a woman. Her name is Victoria, who's nothing but drama.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And he gave her a rose as one of the three.
That
out
always
of four.
Happens,
is
man.
And I was like, come, yeah.
Yeah, well, come on. Crazy.
But
hot.
So was the girl that left.
Oh.
There was only four left. So
I think
they're...
producers always have a hand in that. They keep one person around for you to hate a little more, so you keep watching it.
Yeah.
Got to have a villain.
Yeah.
So that's my.
What happened to us this weekend?
What happened to us? We're so lowbrow and gross.
Why do we do what we hate?
I don't know. You guys watch Love Is Blind, though.
No.
No, I mean, honestly, get a TikTok. It's really worth it.
I don't need either of those because I have The Bachelor.
Yeah, okay.
I'm set.
Oh, dear.
All right, let's talk about today's show, shall we?
Every video, I pour juice over my head.
That's on TikTok.
I'm sure. We're doing great news today.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we are.
Because we were off yesterday, so great news is on the program today. I don't know if you saw Chaka Khan's national anthem.
Chaka Khan?
Mm-hmm.
Chaka Khan?
Yeah.
Mm.
It was... it was... That's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Was it the national anthem? Because
I
didn't recognize any notes. Mm,
and it's not like an amateur. This is
a
Hall
she's
of
a
Famer.
Legend.
Yeah.
So I brought in a bunch of other terrible national anthems.
Excellent.
I mean, people that just ruin the song.
Yeah.
It's not. It's Fergie being one of them.
Yes.
At last year's All-Star game? 2 years ago?
2 years ago, yeah.
But it's don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Make it a song that we recognize.
That'd be nice.
There's a preacher that says that Shakira and J-Lo unleash demons into our souls when we watch the Super Bowl halftime show.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. He means his pants, doesn't he?
He really does.
Yeah.
He really does. He says, my 12-year-old son, but he means himself.
He means his dog.
Yep. Recline or not recline on a plane. It won't die. It will
it
not
will
die.
It will not go away.
We're ahead of the curve on this.
Should we do the scientific survey?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's get the final word.
All right. And Jensen's guest list coming up as well. And We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. Time for What's Happening with Allie.
Kevin, it was a long weekend.
Yes, it was.
Did you go to the movies?
I did.
Did you see Birds of Prey, I would assume?
I did see Birds of Prey.
Please okay. see Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes. What? Oh, is it that good?
Did you see it?
No.
Okay, damn it.
Did you see it?
No, but I just imagined Kevin in the theater watching Sonic the Hedgehog, and it made me excited. It made me happy.
Okay.
I watched something else, too, but that was pretty good, Birds of Prey.
I've heard.
It's pretty good. And she's really good.
Margot Robbie.
That's the kind of movie where it sort of rests on the acting because it's a real fine line to walk between cartoon and reality.
Yeah.
And they do it really well, and she's really good.
Did you ask for the movie Birds of Prey when you bought your ticket?
Yes.
Okay. Because they're still calling it Birds of Prey yeah. and everything written, but they were going to switch it up so people knew what the movie was about. Mm-hmm.
It does say the full title on the screen, though, at the beginning and end.
Yeah.
But that's not what they call it.
Interesting. Well, Sonic the Hedgehog, you guys, made its big debut over President's Weekend and easily landed the top spot at the box office for those few days, not the long 4 day, about $57
million. Wow.
Not bad.
A lot of dough.
When you count up the 4 day weekend, $64.3 million. Claiming the title of biggest North American debut for a movie based on a video game. And they're saying it's probably going to be the biggest movie based on a video game. Yes, thank you. The better-than-expected launch is a big win for Paramount and director Jeff Fowler, who redesigned the character after an outcry from fans, even though it meant pushing the film's release date back a bunch, because, boy, you can't have human teeth. You can't. It's just not possible.
That is a massive opening, though.
It's a huge, huge opening. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and ding that. Coming in second, a movie that Kevin saw, Birds of Prey, making $17.6 million, followed by Fantasy Island, The Photograph, and rounding out the top five, Bad Boys for Life. Kevin, you said you saw two movies this weekend.
I saw a movie called Downhill.
Hill.
Oh, you did see it.
Came in 10th.
Because I thought.
Wow, 10th. Mm-hmm.
Because I thought. I love Will Ferrell.
Love.
I love Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Love. Yes. Can't be. It can't,
the chemistry between them has to be entertaining, even if the movie sucks.
Absolutely.
And you heard me say that it's based on a movie that I love called Force Majeure. So what could go wrong?
Right.
Right.
And Russ Leatherman, when we had him on Friday, said, if you've seen that movie, which I haven't, by the
way. Right, you got lucky,
Don't go to this one.
Yeah. Correct.
And that was good advice, because this one was a terrible movie.
Wow.
Really?
It was not good. And there's almost no interplay between those two. It's It's not a comedy in any way. It's just, don't do that.
So you're saying it wasn't more Force Manure. Force Manure.
Get it?
Good morning.
Oh. If it wasn't so true, I would hate that statement.
Yeah.
But
Oh, right. That is not too bad.
It's not good.
Wow. I'm really bummed.
I went in expecting not expecting good things. Just,
you're going to have a few laughs with those two.
It's a long weekend. I have the time. Maybe I'll go see that one and just see how it is. And that was a mistake.
Oh, no.
They wrote a movie called The Descendants, which was like a George Clooney movie. Which was great also.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many good elements to this film.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's not good.
It's not good at all.
What a bummer, you guys.
Yeah.
Did you guys see any of the Justin Bieber clips over the weekend?
I did not.
I did. A little bit of the interview, correct?
Yeah. He's talking to Zane Lowe, and he starts talking about his intense desire to protect Billie Eilish. And he basically says that he wants to protect her from all the fame and the pressures that he says almost killed him. Here's his exact quote. I just want to protect her. I don't want her to lose it. I don't want her to go through the things that I went through. I don't wish that upon anybody. So if she ever needs me, I'm just a call away. So Billie Eilish saw that and then put that beginning part where he talks about it and then spliced in clips of her bedroom with the Justin Bieber posters and her wearing a Justin Bieber shirt, just fresh-faced as she looked about 12 or 13 in the picture. So it's such an interesting dynamic that they have now because I think the first time she ever said that she loved Justin Bieber was on our show when you guys interviewed her.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of took off. People were like, what? you love Justin Bieber? She's like, uh-huh, sure do. And then they met at Coachella, and it was just kind of a moment, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a moment.
The rest of that interview is intense at times, talking about how much drugs he did and that security guards used to come in to check his pulse.
Wow.
Really dark stuff.
Good.
And then a lot of God talk.
Good interview? Oh.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. Okay. I don't. Yeah. It's long. But, I mean, there are you just find the highlights. They're all pretty intense.
Yeah. You guys ever think maybe if I smelled my lover shirt, I'd sleep better?
First of all, I don't use the word lover.
No, you have to say lover like that. Researchers say having a loved one's natural scent nearby could be as effective a sleep aid as melatonin.
Smells like donkey ass.
I mean,
a lot of smelling
happening. For the study, people were given two shirts to use as pillowcases. One had to be worn by their lover. The other one was clean or had been worn by a stranger. Participants spent two nights in a row sleeping with each shirt. They weren't told which shirt was which, but they reported feeling more well-rested after using the T-shirt with their lover's scent. They said it's an effect similar into what is reported from taking oral melatonin supplements, often used as a sleep aid. I mean, that's fascinating.
I smell like beef, of course.
I wouldn't sleep well if I was just smelling beef all night, because I'd want steak. It's true.
I do. For the record, I do think I still smell like beef from Korean barbecue I had like weeks ago. I still smell it.
Well, meat sweats are real, but I don't think weeks later.
I don't know.
What the hell is that smell?
Well, it's my lover, and he smells like beef. Research will next examine if parent shirts can also help babies sleep better. So I feel like it's just maybe a pillowcase or a blanket that smells differently than Tide or whatever you're using.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Good times with your lover. Some birthdays for you. Molly Ringwald, John Travolta, Ike Barinholtz, Dr. Dre, and Yoko Ono. That is.
It's a real performance by her. It's my favorite part.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, by performance, that's her singing, right?
I mean, yeah, if you use the word loosely.
Extremely loose. All right. And that's what's happening.
What if Shakira and J-Lo, at halftime of the Super Bowl, opened a portal to hell so that demons can take over our soul?
I mean, obviously.
What if that happened?
Right?
I'd see the movie.
You'd see the movie. This is a preacher.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. The man's name is Dave Dubenmeyer. And he's from Ohio, and he's very upset. He's thinking about suing the NFL for that reason.
Okay. What if there's a spirit that accompanies the visual of pornography? What if that opens us up? Dare I say it? What do they call it, a portal? What if just sitting in the spiritual realm I'm talking about now? Folks, listen, the natural world, they're not going to understand this. They're not going to get it, okay?
We're not going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So just know that going in.
Those of us who have eyes to see, let us see. Let us see and understand. What if sitting in there watching that soft pornography dance across our TVs? Mm-hmm. What if there's a spiritual component to that? What if there's something that comes through out of my screen? What if there's some waves? And there comes J-Lo's crotch. What if there's something, waves or
waves
coming out of J-Lo's crotch?
Yeah. Okay.
Through the TV
to
hurt this man's soul.
I mean, has he ever been to a pool, a beach, anywhere that women are wearing more clothing or less clothing than they did during the Super Bowl halftime?
I will say there were a couple of pretty good crotch shots.
Yeah.
I mean, I was very surprised.
But nothing worse. I mean, the year before, Adam Levine up there with no T-shirt, with no shirt on and gyrating, doing the same thing, but we didn't hear anything about him.
Well, no one watched that.
Oh, right. That's a good point.
Some force that comes off of that. What if it's like really and truly infecting me with a virus?
Here's the weird thing. He's not basing this on anything.
No.
He's just what if.
A lot of what ifs with this preacher.
What if it is really like that, see? I think we ought to sue. I think we ought to sue.
Okay. I'm sorry, what?
I think we ought to sue. That's what I think.
Okay.
think we ought to sue
for the potential waves coming out of her crotch into his living room,
opening a portal,
to hell,
right?
Okay.
Where then demons can now come in and take take his soul.
Okay.
So he thinks they ought to sue.
Were there any warnings before that Super Bowl halftime show? Were there any warnings that your 12-year-old young son, whose hormones are just...
Or myself, he should say.
Getting ready, just starting to operate. Was there any warning that he, what he's going to see might cause him to get sexually excited?
Sir.
Was there a warning?
Stop making my sons horny. I think that woman speaks the truth. Yeah.
Gosh. Was there a warning?
No.
Because I don't remember there being a warning.
No.
I mean, he's right on that. He's right on that.
There was no warning.
Right?
Okay.
So I think we ought to go sit down in the courtroom and present this as evidence.
I wish you would.
I really wish he would, too.
I just want to hear the cross-examination as to why he believes a portal is open.
He would just say, what if?
Yeah.
But what if?
Okay.
And how the whoever keeping me from getting into the kingdom of heaven.
So it's J-Lo's fault. Yeah. J-Lo's vagina's fault.
Yeah.
Because he watched?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's keeping him his soul from getting into heaven.
Well, that is a bummer.
That's the first time I actually understood what he was saying.
Yeah,
I could be right.
Yeah. I get it.
Could I go into a courtroom and say, viewing what you put on that screen put me in danger of hellfire?
I wish you would.
Can you
imagine? Can you imagine him sitting there explaining to a judge that J-Lo's vagina might send his soul to hell?
I hope it's Judge Judy. I really do. She will have no time for you,
sir. Judge Judy only sees court cases that are pretty small in money.
I don't believe a word of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
This guy is suing for a decent amount of dough.
Could the court say that doesn't apply here? That doesn't apply here because pornography, the right to porn, overrides your right to watch it. Yeah, but you didn't tell me I was going to watch it. You just brought it into my living room. You didn't tell me.
He's chill.
Bonus, right?
Yeah.
There is no excuse for that.
Mm-hmm. You didn't tell me there were going to be crotch shots.
Can you imagine? Warning, crotch shots coming up.
So, well, you should know better.
Mm-hmm.
You should know better because it's J-Lo and whoever that was. You should know she's an expert in crotch shots. You already know that. No, I protect my eyes. I didn't know that about her.
Is she an expert in crotch shots?
Well, a lot of people have said that. Yeah.
He's also just conversing with himself.
Yeah, he's just yelling at himself.
Yes, that's what's happening.
And I'm sitting there and I'm watching it. Why don't we sue?
Hey, by the way, don't watch it. I don't know if anyone brought that up. You don't have to watch that.
Well, he wasn't warned. He wanted to watch it. He just didn't expect crotch shots.
Right.
It's not his fault.
But then he kept watching.
Sure.
Which you don't have
to. Well, he had succumbed to
the portal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I
love watching the NFL. I want to watch the Super Bowl.
Why are you yelling?
But I don't want to watch that.
I do.
You
if
definitely
they bring that
do.
Into my house, is that not discriminatory?
No, it's not discriminatory.
He's wrong. Sorry. The answer is no.
You're
it's
an
not.
Idiot.
Yes.
That's discriminatory against the values I have in my house. You can't just do that. I'm going to sue him.
All right. What do you guys think the damages are? This is where he says he's going to sue them for.
He can't get into heaven, Kevin.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, you've got to put that price on it. Mm-hmm. So I would say at least $100 million.
Okay. Jensen?
I have $75
million. $75
million. I want to sue him for about $867
trillion. Trillion?
I did not see that coming.
$867 trillion.
Huh. Wow.
Right?
Well, worth it.
I think he's got a case, and I think he should go to court.
And then buy the NFL, and then get rid of all crotch shots.
It works for me as well. Jensen, you saw the Chaka Khan national anthem.
I did, yeah. I was watching live during the NBA All-Star game.
Thoughts?
Well, you know.
Has she ever heard it?
It's Chaka Khan, man. She's an absolute icon. She's a legend.
Mm-hmm.
And then during it, I went, is this terrible? And then is this terrible? And then I saw the reaction. They did the camera panning through players, and they were laughing, and a couple of them were like, oh, what's this note? And I went, oh, it is terrible, and everyone knows it.
Mm-hmm.
It's bonkers.
It's not great.
No.
Mm-mm.
I had to edit it because it's not possible to listen to it in its entirety.
No, we wouldn't allow that.
It would kill you. But mm-hmm. this is part of Chaka Khan's national anthem.
Here to perform the Star Spangled Banner is acclaimed singer, songwriter, and 10-time Grammy winner from Chicago, Chaka Khan.
All right. Warm reception.
10 Grammys, man.
Sure.
Chicago and the Rockets, red,
black. All right. So there you're like, I don't know. Is this great?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, is that good or bad? And I said, it feels bad, but it's Chaka Khan, so it's got to be good.
The bombs bursting in air.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Tonight.
I mean, come on now. Yeah. Don't. Come on now.
Give me a little more.
Okay. Yeah.
Give me a little more.
That our flag was still there. Oh, say does
that. Weird places.
There's some semblance to the song in there. And right when you think, okay, now we're getting back on track.
Yes.
She's hitting the right no.
This is going to, she's going to redeem herself
she
now.
She just derails it within the next couple notes.
And that one was, that's the cat noise there. That's like, it's a screech. This.
Oh.
Still, I sort of feel what Jensen is saying, which is this great?
It's not great.
Or is it terrible?
It's terrible. And the players' reactions as they're passing them, it's like they would show Kawhi, even Kawhi, who's cool as a cucumber,
right.
And he's still like, ooh. Like you can see everybody's shoulders just going low. Yeah.
The world famous K-Rock.
Bring it home.
And home other.
Oh no.
One more round of applause.
No.
No, sir.
She possibly still be singing. Like, if we checked in, is she still singing?
That's possible, yeah.
Possible.
That is possible.
Yeah.
She's up there with some of the worst.
Yeah.
She's not as bad as Roseanne.
Right. Oh, that can't be Roseanne.
This is Fergie.
I hope that's Roseanne.
Fergie.
And this had a similar reaction from players.
Yes, but at least she's singing the notes.
Mm. Yeah.
She's trying to make them sexy, which I don't think is the move.
Spangled Bay.
Nope.
Oh, no.
And she took long breaks, too, like here. And that's when they would, show people in the crowd trying not to laugh.
Yeah.
For the land of the free.
Well, no, those aren't hitting notes at all.
I mean, it's... Ugh. You can see what she's going for.
Trying.
You can tell what she's going for.
Still a little
for.
Pitchy, dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not as bad as Roseanne.
I can't believe this happened.
I can't either.
And then didn't she spit?
Yeah, she grabbed her crotch.
This is literally a sprint.
Yeah. Laughing.
And she's laughing. Because people start booing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At that point, people start booing, and it's like, oh my God, they're actually booing me during the anthem.
I mean, only thing I'll say is she was trying to get it over with quick.
Right.
I respect that.
Or Carl Lewis. You remember Carl Lewis?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, say, can you see? And the Rockets.
He says,
uh-oh.
Now he's going to make the people a promise.
I'll make up for it now.
There you go. Huh. All right.
For the land of the free.
That had training wheels on it.
And R. Kelly did his own version of
Robert.
The
national anthem.
That our flag was still there. Clap your hands, y'all. That's the Spangled Banner. Oh, and wait.
That what's way, what's that happening?
What's
happening to the... It's a national anthem. Just sing it.
Do you know how bad of a person you have to be for that not to be the worst thing you've ever done?
Wait, you're supposed to wash pillows? You're talking pillowcases.
No.
Pillowcases.
But obviously you wash pillowcases
every time
you wash the sheet.
Yeah, we do that. Thank God. Then the segment's over.
Right.
Okay, guys.
Good news.
Hit the thingy.
Guys.
What?
I am disgusted. When I brought up last week, I said, you guys, I saw on Twitter like this huge, shocking tweet. This woman wrote, it has come to my attention that people don't wash their pillows.
Cases.
Guys,
you mean cases.
Pillows, Kevin.
Okay.
Stanky-ass white man.
Stanky-ass white man.
Guys, wash your pillows. Your pillows are hard and flat because they're now just stuffing soaked in drool and head goo. Wash them. F. Then put them in the dryer with a tennis ball. To which a guy I follow retweeted that and in all caps wrote, people don't wash their pillows? And it sparked this whole conversation where people were like, no, I wash my pillowcases or I have one of those zip covers on. Well, great. It's good that you're washing those once a week.
Right.
But you should
once a
be
week? I'm supposed to be washing my pillow once a
your
week?
Your pillowcases once a week when you
and
do
and then how often for a pillow?
I'm getting there.
Oh, God. This
God.
Is just... I've never even thought about
Dang
washing
it.
My pillow. Never even thought
Some
about it.
Some experts say... Are you serious?
Swear
never?
To God, I've never thought about it.
Oh. Some experts say every season. So that's four times a year.
Okay.
Others say twice a year. SleepAdvisor.org says every 3 weeks.
No.
Every 3 weeks.
Here is what is getting on your pillow. Regardless if you use a pillowcase or a zip-up cover, saliva, sweat, oils, dry skin, dust mites,
Ooh.
All living in your pillow. I saw a guy's comment that said, I've had the same pillow since high school. This man had been on the news for 15 years. It's got to be at least 30 years that he's had that same pillow
since high school.
So my household, I did ask this weekend because I wanted to know how come I've never thought about the idea of washing my pillow.
Right.
We switch out our pillows every few months.
That's actually a lot sooner than most.
Yes.
Wait,
they
so switch them out meaning you
we, like, buy
get
new
a
ones.
New one.
Buy new ones.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Throw them out. All right.
Okay, a lot of people said, oh no, I just toss mine. And I put a poll up on my Instagram, and a lot of people said, oh no, when my pillow gets gross, I toss it.
Mm-hmm.
To which I responded, how often? I don't know, every like 3 or 4 years. Okay, no, see, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. It's disturbing.
Where do we find out what we're supposed to be doing?
There's a lot of questions here. But people also say, well, it's just going to ruin the pillow. Just throw it in the washing machine. I throw two in at a time, so that way it's not like getting all discombobulated.
What's the tennis ball thing?
The tennis ball thing is to put it in the dryer so the tennis ball is bouncing around in there and fluffing it at the same time. But here's the concerning thing.
Too much.
If you do not dry your pillow correctly, like the right amount of time, it's in there just getting all moldy and disgusting.
Okay, so,
wait, so now you're adding more problems?
So it's disgusting if you don't wash it, and it's disgusting if you do.
No, it's disgusting if you don't dry it enough.
Okay.
All I'm saying is this. A lot of people were commenting in the comments, you know what? I had never thought about washing my pillow. I did it 2 months ago. I have terrible allergies. I've now been waking up without a stuffy nose, without the burning eyes, without anything, because your pillow is disgusting and it's what you've been sleeping on, you nasty, nasty people.
I think we have an important question to ask.
Yes, please.
Muggs.
Oh, come on.
How long have you had your pillow?
I would say about 8 years.
Right. And have you ever washed it?
My gosh.
Not once.
Right. And to be honest with you, I think it's a majority of us.
Have you ever thought of washing it?
Not one.
Is this a surprise? What Ellie's saying is this is a surprise.
It has me flabbergasted, really.
It's a surprise to a lot of people. Here's the poll that Yashar Ali did on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Do you wash your pillows? Yes, 26.4%. No, 35%.
Right.
Didn't know I should, 32%.
Yes, that's a large majority of not washing your pillow.
So I put a poll on my Instagram. Do you wash your pillow? The actual pillow, not the pillowcase. Of course, 44%. What? Wait, no. 56%.
Right.
And
right.
I think a lot of the, of course, people
are lying.
We're lying.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, it can't
I
be true.
I don't think a lot of people know you're supposed to wash your pillow. You disgusting people sleeping on that drool and mice.
How much drool is on my pillow?
A lot. If we were to go to your houses right now and looked at your pillow,
under
I guarantee it's yellow all on the outside. Mugs, what?
That's not drool.
All right.
I don't know.
Allie.
Kevin.
What's happening?
Well, remember last year when it was Ozzy Osbourne just canceling and rescheduling a ton of dates? Even ones here in L.A.? Well, he's decided to just cancel his whole 2020 North American No More Tours to Tour tour to allow him to continue to recover from various health issues that he has faced over the year. The decision was made to accommodate fans who've been holding tickets for rescheduled shows, who've been asked to change plans some multiple times. And he just says, you know, it's not fair anymore. We're just canceling the whole tour. You're going to get your money back. Original point of purchase. It's a real bummer because I feel like this is kind of
his goodbye tour.
The goodbye, you know, he most likely will not be heading back on tour. But he said in a statement that unfortunately I won't be able to get to Switzerland for treatment until April, and that treatment takes 6 to 8 weeks. So he's been through it. I mean, everything from pneumonia to injuries, a fall at his house. Finally came out that he has been suffering from Parkinson's disease. So it's a bummer. It's kind of an end of an era. Era? Error? What?
I mean, both.
Oh.
He has gotten through so much in his life. Like, I feel like he's been so close to terrible things or death so much of his life. Mm-hmm. I just see him as immortal. So hearing these things, it's like...
It is odd.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
For sure.
Doesn't connect.
I have never been more bummed not to be in a London pub over the weekend. So, Adele, just officiating the wedding of her childhood friend, Laura Dockrill. She married a man named Hugo White, who's a member of the band The Maccabees. So you're just watching Adele up there, just doing the ceremony. And then she's singing. She's doing her hits. So she's singing Rolling in the Deep. Then you look over. Oh, there's Florence from Florence and the Machine singing along to every single word. Why was I not at that pub on Saturday? But the reason I'm telling you this story is because Adele told the crowd at the wedding to expect her next album in September, straight from the horse's mouth. Not the
great album. Great album. I didn't know who I was until I heard this album.
I mean, that's going to be my quote. Don't think it won't. But that's the follow-up to, of course, 2015's 25. It's been that long since we've heard
that's crazy.
Adele music.
I am a true Adele head.
Uh-huh.
I love her. And I saw a tweet about that pub.
Uh-huh.
About how she was screaming and crying when she left. Did you read that part of it?
What?
No.
Yeah, very weird. There's photos of her sort of like yelling and she's crying in the car.
Well, she's flipping off the paparazzi.
Yeah, but like bawling. I was like very, I mean, it's sad if that's how, I mean, she must be being hounded if that's what she's crying about. But it was like a very disturbing picture. And I felt, especially with the royal family thing with all the press out there and stuff, it was like a very, very odd look. I felt bad.
Huh.
Come home, Adele.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying. Come back to L.A. where nobody will hound you.
Right.
We don't bother you.
I mean, except me outside.
Sure.
Just let me in. Let's just be best friends.
Hey, queen.
I mean, one day, maybe.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
No.
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Like, that's just
trying to be positive.
That's just mean, you guys. Okay. So you see a Banksy, and it's something you just don't mess with, right? A lot of people, if there's a Banksy on their property, they'll actually put like a frame around it and protect it so nobody can get it. Well, the elusive graffiti maestro unveiled his latest street work just in time for Valentine's Day, just to get it vandalized 2 days later. The UK mural showing a young girl firing a slingshot that exploded into a burst of red flowers growing on the side of a house was confirmed to be a genuine Banksy work on the artist's Instagram page at midnight. But overnight on Saturday, just 48 hours after it went up, the British slur word wankers was spray painted over it in pink, along with a large pink heart. I mean, is it vandalism or is that Banksy?
Another
on
piece.
Banksy?
Yeah.
Right? That is my question. I do love that this says the British slur word wankers. Really? Is that a slur? But I guess it is. But what a shame. What a bummer. If you
Unless
have a Banksy
him.
On your property, what if he does come out and say, like, listen, that was me? Then you, like, that would triple in price, right?
I would think
a
so.
A Banksy on Banksy? That's unheard of.
he's one of the examples of someone who got like too popular, so everyone sort of now is like, eh. Like
they're mad at him.
Yeah, they mess with his pieces a lot nowadays, I still like him.
Guys, I know you've been waiting for it. You've been crossing your fingers. Oh, are they going to tell us today? The White House Correspondents Association dinner is today the day that they let us know who's going to host that.
I'm screaming.
Today's the day, guys. Congrats. Kenan Thompson, the longest tenured Saturday Night Live cast member, will serve as MC of this year's White House Correspondents Association dinner. It's going to be held April 25th and set to feature a repeat performance by Hasan Minhaj, the former Daily host and current host of Patriot Act on Netflix. He was the featured entertainer in the 2017 edition of the event. So, congrats.
It seems as if they're trying to turn it around.
Back to comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had Michelle Wolf in 2018, and she said political things, which they do every single year. And people were like, no, that's bad. And then last year, they decided to not have comedy and have a guy named Ron Chernow, a historian and Alexander Hamilton biographer who lectured on the history of presidential ire towards the news media. What a blast.
Well, it sounds fun. That I wish I was there.
Yeah, the food and the bar sounds helpful at that one.
Party.
This is a time for all the press to go and be like, oh, yeah, we're all doing a really great job not holding anyone accountable. This is fun. This is our nerd prom is what they call it. It's just, oh, get over yourselves.
I think both those guys, though, Kenan and Hasan Minhaj, will take it. They won't allow that to happen. No, I'm just saying, like, they're going to speak up.
Sure.
It's not going to be like
a kiss butt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which will be good.
Well, I'll hear highlights. I'm sure.
Yeah,
very exciting.
You mean you don't watch on what is it, C-SPAN or whatever?
It's
the
one time C-SPAN gets viewers every year.
Oh, but that guy loves it. That guy that was just laughing. Listen,
yeah,
very exciting
fan. Cannot wait.
Loves the White House Correspondents
Dinner. I'm excited for him. Unfortunately, no time for Yoko Ono, but happy birthday to you, Molly Ringwald, John Travolta.
A dozen.
Honestly, how great is that?
I start saying her name that way normally now.
I don't think a lot of people even know her name.
Adina Menzel?
Adina Menzel.
It's Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem.
Yeah.
She's got Change It, right? Ike Barinholtz and, can't forget about him, Dr. Dre. And that's what's happening.
Oh, man. Do we have to file? Can we file that?
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it?
No.
Great news is next.
Yeah.
The news blows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
It's so negative, and that's why we like a feature on this show called Great News.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. But we'll try to make that feeling go away. It's time for Great News today.
Great News!
How long do you guys want to live?
Another year or two.
That's so sad.
So dark.
And so dark.
No, I don't know. Mid-90s?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'll go 88.
Yeah, I'm fine mid-80s.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll go first, I guess. When they say death does us part, they don't mean longer than 75 years either, do they? Like, that's too long, right? That's too long. I don't know.
That does seem like a long time.
Well, Texas's John Charlotte Henderson, they're now in the Guinness Book of World Records. They're a couple. They've been married now for 80 years.
Wow.
They dated for five before they got married. They're together now for 85 in total as a couple. They're the oldest married couple of all time, if you add up their ages. John is 107.
Wow.
Charlotte is 105.
Is it possible that they're just don't have the energy to get a divorce?
Like, they don't even know who each other is at this point. They first met in 1934 at the University of Texas, and they both knew immediately that they had met someone special. Charlotte says she still gets a handmade Valentine card yearly from him with a love note written in it. Isn't that sweet?
Mm-hmm.
And though they never had any children, which I assume is one reason they've lived so long, they have been happily retired since the 70s. Here is John talking about what it felt like to be recognized by the Book of World Records.
Overwhelming. Actually, we never thought anything like this could come to
I mean, he said come true. He didn't die mid-sentence.
Yeah. It sounded like perhaps.
Come to, right. and then out. Despite their old age, both are extremely healthy. John reads the paper every day, and the question they get asked the most is obvious. How do you make it work? How do you keep your marriage together? Here's John's response.
Take every day in stride. Try to make tomorrow a better day than today.
Don't listen to your wife ever. Keep walking.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
When asked what life would be like without Charlotte, John replied, "Well, I don't know. I never tried it." Charlotte was wow. Quick.
Sounds like he wants to.
And Charlotte was quick to stress, "And he better not." And for the big anniversary of 80 years, what did they do? Here is a news reporter in Texas giving us the details.
For their anniversary celebration, John picked up Charlotte the same way he did on their first date, driving a 1920s Roadster and carrying a bouquet.
107 and he's driving?
He's still driving.
Wow.
He can't drive far. He just drives within the little community, but he's still driving.
I don't. I'm just.
This is.
Oh, dear.
It's great news for a little longer. Okay. Just like a couple more weeks, tops. And that's adorable to me. So true love does exist with these two, and that is why it's my great news.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That was good.
That was something. That guy drives.
Mm-hmm.
107.
And wow.
By the way, just like a couple feet. He doesn't drive.
A lot can happen in a couple feet. True. All I'm saying. So I saw a picture that was circulating that made my heart just swell. It's a little boy named Oliver that is in a wheelchair, and his mom turned around because he wasn't right behind her at the Target and realized he had stopped in his wheelchair to look up at an ad that they had that also had another little boy in a wheelchair. He was just stopped and staring at this in awe. And it made my heart swell because, you know what? Representation really does matter. And representation of all kinds absolutely matters. And this is something that Target is actually really good at, making sure that everybody feels welcome, not only in their stores, but through their advertising. So she snapped a picture of this, and it, of course, went viral. And she wrote, "Thank you, Target. Today, Oliver stopped me dead in his tracks and turned back around to see this picture that he spotted." We are going to put it up at Kevin Mornings on Twitter. It is just such a precious picture. And she wound up getting a response back from the little boy's mother, who's in the picture, the model, if you will, of the kid. And it's just so lovely that now they are starting this kind of friendship. I'm having a lot of ads popping up on my computer as I'm trying to do the story, and it's not cool.
Is it for Target?
All.
Is it because you've said their name?
Big sale at Target, you guys. This is amazing.
How about that?
But as this photo was circulated, she saw her son Colton was the boy featured in the Target ad, and she wrote, "I'm that little boy in the Target display's mom, and this picture has me in tears. Tell Ollie he can do anything he puts his mind to." And all sorts of people started posting pictures of their kids in front of ads that they related to, like a little girl posing in front of a picture where the girl in the picture has Down syndrome. So she's posing in front of that. Another mother talked about how her daughter, who hates her freckles, saw a picture of an African-American girl with light skin and freckles. And she's like, "Wait a minute, she's just like me. I have freckles and her freckles are so pretty. That's just like me." It's just a beautiful thing when people that usually don't see themselves portrayed in a great light, you're seeing this inclusivity and this beauty, and to have it be for little kids that then are going to see that more and more, I think that's just a beautiful thing. Plus, my God, Target.
Right?
God, I love it so much.
Great
like,
place.
It is a real sickness, me and
Did
Target.
You see the thing that went viral
the
this week?
The little girl that had a birthday party at Target. We're going
to
talk about that coming up.
Have to.
It's magic. It is absolutely magic. That is why Target is my great news.
Back in November, Karen and Dustin Moore had been on their way to California after becoming proud parents to an 8-day-old baby girl. They get on the plane, and by the way, I've been here. They have a 8-day-old baby, and they know everyone hates them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
everyone
absolutely.
On that plane hates them.
Yeah.
So he's like apologizing as they go back. And then I'm going to read his words. I offered numerous apologies to passengers while maneuvering the aisle with four bags. About mid-flight, our daughter awoke and politely informed us that she wanted a new diaper. After inquiring about a space for a table change, a thoughtful flight attendant named Jenny cleared a place in the back of the plane and gave us privacy. As the doting dad changed the daughter's diaper, the flight attendant named Bobby greeted them with a warm smile and inquired about our daughter, and he congratulated us before walking away. My wife and I exchanged curious looks, but thought nothing of it. To their shock, Bobby's voice then came over the intercom a few minutes later, announcing the Moore's adoption, and the plane erupted in applause. Bobby then told the passengers he would be passing out pens and napkins so everyone could write notes of encouragement to the new parents. The crew gathered the napkins, then read a few of their favorites over the intercom.
Come on with this flight.
Who are these dreams? Oh. These are great people.
Amazing people.
Yes.
And here's why it happened. Bobby and Jenny ended up collecting more than 60 napkins, but he says the spontaneous baby shower was him paying it forward because this happened with him and his bride. They got married, and the same thing happened where everybody was given napkins and write down their messages of support. Mm-hmm. And he's paying that kindness forward to this couple.
Very nice.
Making sure that the entire plane is in on giving, you know, thoughts of encouragement and hope to this family.
The question is, were they reclined in their
seats?
Great
question.
I mean,
Jason.
That is a great
question. Because if they recline, they don't. I don't know if they deserve this. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't know the answer to that, but that's my great news. Because you don't see that often.
Not at all. Very nice.
That is a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. How stressed they must have been.
Oh,
first of all,
God.
8 days old. Should the baby have been flying?
Right.
That's a whole other question. Listen, I'm
Did
not
Did you write
judging.
That on your napkin?
Yeah, why is the baby flying? I mean, really. But my gosh, just the stress of having a brand new baby and not knowing really what to do at all.
Yeah.
And then have everybody be that kind. That is
Very
lovely.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to do a scientific survey. So 1-800-520-1067. We need jurors.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're not going to tell you what it's about, and
right.
then we're going to let you decide something that we've been arguing about.
Mm-hmm.
So 1-800-520-1067. We will do a scientific survey next. Congratulations to our grand prize winner for Wheels Up number 4, the 1975 in Madrid, Spain, Riley Emanaker from Orange, just won that trip. How about that?
So jealous.
Very lucky. We're kicking off number 5 now with Incubus and 311. Incubus, 311, and Bad Flower are the tickets you get at Five Point Amphitheater on July 18th, and then you qualify to get a trip to see them again in Austin, Texas.
All right.
Luck out.
So that's going on right now. Recline your seat or don't recline your seat.
Yeah.
I say don't. I don't say don't. I say be considerate.
Okay.
But of what? Of someone being tall behind you?
Yeah. Yes.
No, it's not how it works. You pay the same price as everyone else, I mean, or at least close to, and one of the options that the plane gives you is reclining your seat. If they want to stop giving that option, I'll have a different opinion. But for right now, we're all paying the same fee so that we can move our seat back. And the people who can't move their seat back are paying less of a fee because they're in, like, the back row. We've went over this, and I'm right. We know this.
I mean, we have gone over this.
Yes.
I'm not sure you're right, though.
I know I am right, because it is not an option that you just don't... Then I won't pick... I'll be like, that guy's too tall. Got to move seats. Over and over again. No one will sit anywhere.
Man, your life is so hard.
Telling you.
I'm saying be considerate. I'm saying if there's somebody behind you that doesn't have a lot of room.
Ruin your day for him or her.
It doesn't ruin your day to be nice. Hmm. Not that hard.
How much are you really reclining? Do we know the actual
It's like an inch
number?
And a half. I mean, it seems like it's very little.
But it's not the part, like, it's not the butt part of your seat. So
Mm-mm.
you're not moving that back. So how is it affecting? I'm asking this as a short person.
So I think the real answer
is barely 5'2".
Right. It appears, based on what I've seen online, that it's more about the people who have their tray out.
Okay.
That is the thing that really pushes, because you're then losing even more room. Because the tray of the person
but
is
But
I'll taller.
Say this. As a person who's 6'2",
uh-huh.
my knees are already hitting the seat in front of me. If they tilt back, that hurts.
Okay.
And I have to move my knees and I can't sit comfortably. And I don't know why it's such a big deal to just ask and just say, hey, do you mind?
Yeah.
And then you say yes, then I still move it back?
Yeah, sure.
There's the play. There we go.
Sure.
We did it.
This is the CEO of Delta Airlines talking about the same thing.
It's the etiquette, though. I want to know what the etiquette is. If you're a tall guy, Ed, you are a tall guy. You are in coach.
I am.
And somebody's in front of you
I
and
am.
They want to go all the way back. Is it appropriate to even say to them, hey, I'm really tall or whatever it is, Could you do me a favor and don't go back? Do they have every right to go as far back as they want? They paid for the ticket.
I think customers have the right to recline. We've been testing reduced recline and seeing response on that. We actually have a fair amount of our fleet on a reduced recline as a result of that. But I think the proper thing to do is if you're gonna recline into somebody that you ask if it's okay first, and then you do it. But
you have
at
to
the
ask.
Same time, I think it's
well, that's interesting. You think you?
I never say anything myself, though.
You don't say anything. Do you think the etiquette is to ask the person behind if you can recline?
I think if someone knows there's a tall person behind them and they want to recline their seat, I think the polite thing would be to make certain it was okay. I never recline because I don't think it's something that
all right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Sir.
You're reclining okay.
my seat.
And first
I never say
of all,
couple
issues.
Yeah.
First you
of
go
all,
ahead. Allie.
Zip it. One. Dude hasn't flown in coach for decades.
No, right. this is truly a question he can't answer as someone who is obviously first class every flight.
Absolutely. Yeah. Second of all, your airline is dumping fuel on kids on the playground. Yeah. Sip this one out, Chief.
This doesn't seem to be his airline's biggest issue right
yes.
now. No. No.
All right, listen, it's time for a scientific survey. Let's do this.
It's time for Kevin and the Morning Scientific Survey.
All right, so we have people on hold that have listened to this entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to let them vote, and then that will be legally
that's
binding.
It. Yeah, that's the truth.
Jamie? And how did you
get here? Oh, so close.
All right, you listened to that entire conversation. So what's the etiquette when you're on a plane?
I'm with Jensen all the way. Recline that back, man.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much, Heimer.
Right. You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right, one for the wrong way. Matthew in Los Angeles, good morning.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Good,
morning.
Thank you. So recline the seat or no?
100% recline that seat. You paid for the seat.
Yep.
Recline it. There's no etiquette involved. Yes, if there's a super tall guy, he has the right to ask you to not recline it, but
correct.
You by no means need to ask him before you recline your seat.
Yes, Matthew.
Yeah, and it's not our fault you're tall,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the CEO sounds like a babbling idiot.
Yeah,
agreed.
Oh,
we all agree on that.
Agreed,
yeah.
Yes.
All right. So.
Wow, 2-0, you guys.
How about that? Patrick in Monrovia, good morning.
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 I say do not recline.
Oh, the other way. What is your reasoning here? You just think it's not a right we're given?
Just courtesy to other people, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody knows we're in a cramped space, and if you're in coach, I mean, you're in an even crammer space. So
you are in a crammer space.
That's my fellow man.
He is right about the cramp.
Patrick, how tall are you?
Sorry.
He's gone. I'm 6'8". That makes sense. Okay.
Let's our next caller, Taco Fall from the Boston Celtics.
Let's go to Dan and Pico Rivera. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, good morning.
All right, we have two votes to one so far.
All right, well, what I don't get is that, you know, if you're very large, the airline makes you buy two seats sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
If you're very tall, why don't they make you buy two seats, one in front, one in back? I say the option's there. You are to recline.
Not
I really
wrong.
Get that.
Thank you, Dan. Wow. Not wrong. Not a bad
That's
point.
That's not a bad point. I never even thought about that.
Interesting.
Yeah. That way you 100% have control over the recline. Mm-hmm. I buy both the seats. Thank you.
So you're going to make me buy two seats everywhere I go?
I mean, I don't need you to do that, but if you need to control the recline, absolutely. I mean, you have the right. You paid for it.
The people have spoken.
Yeah.
I'm curious, though,
mm-hmm.
to hear a couple more. Is that bad? Like, I know the people have spoken, but I would love to hear.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, sure. Let's go to Carrie in Fontana. Good morning, Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
What up, boo? I would say recline. I was going to agree with that other guy. If you're tall, go buy a first class seat and let me recline.
There, even better.
Wow.
Even a better point, Carrie.
Spoken like a short poor.
I'm 5'9".
Yeah.
So
you're 5'9"?
I'm 5'9".
All right.
Okay.
She makes a good point in the idea that not even buying two seats, just you got to upgrade then, Brad. You know, go
It doesn't mean
there.
You have money just because you're tall.
Yeah, tall people have money.
They do.
Yeah,
know that.
A lot
yes.
of people don't know that.
I didn't realize
yeah.
By the way,
that.
It's,
yeah.
it's sweeping the board, man.
Yeah.
It really is. Should we do one more?
Yeah, yeah. Gabriel.
Right. Gabriel and Stanton, good morning. It's
Ali, Jensen, Recipes Bean.
Yes.
Your thoughts?
Yeah. Recline that seat.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Kevin.
This is crazy.
Kevin did not see this coming.
It's been a long time since something was this dominant.
Yeah, yeah I it truly is the right we are given. I'm so happy that here in America we can still have human rights and the ability to do what we are given the chance to do.
And I'm saying, would it kill you to just be thoughtful?
Yes, it would.
Okay.
That was Kevin and the Morning Scientific Survey.
When we come back, we will have a brand new guest list. Very excited about this one. It's kind of a fast food report-ish. Tune in soon. Here we go.
On Tuesdays, Jensen picks a list. Tell us about this one.
This is a guest list that gets us into a little bit of the fast food report adjacent. I'm very excited to get you into it, but for now, it's the guest list.
It's the guest list. It's the guest list. Come on and gather round. We're gonna count it down. Yeah. It's the guest list. It's the guest list. Come on and gather round. We're gonna count it down. Guest list. What do you know? Guest list. It's time to show. Guest list. Don't you blow. Whoa. Guest list. Come on, let's go. The guest list.
Beautiful.
All right, so let's get into it. This week, all right, so what I do is I give you sort of a ranking down of something from the website ranker.com. Mm-hmm. In this case, 11,000 votes, almost 12,000 votes.
Okay.
And I have the top 10 list in front of me, and I'm going to ask you guys to pick which ones are on the list, and you'll get a point for every one you come up with.
Easy enough.
Very easy. So this week, we are going to be counting down the best family restaurant chains in America.
Best family restaurant chains.
In America. Again, almost 12,000 votes. People were asked, what is the best family restaurant chains in America? Now I ask you to give me restaurants that show up in the top 10. So let's start with our friend Kevin Ryder.
Johnny Rockets.
Oh, nice.
Johnny Rockets, not in the top 10.
Oh,
but I got a nice
maybe,
out of alley so far.
Yeah, I think they probably aren't as big in other areas.
Decent pick. Johnny Rockets, not on the list. Let's move to Mugs.
Applebee's.
Very good pick. Applebee's, number six.
Oh, all right.
On the board, Applebee's, number six on the board. Moving on to Allie McKay.
Chili's.
Chili's is number seven.
Ooh,
wow.
All right, right next to each other, six and seven. We're moving on to Kevin Ryder.
Denny's.
Denny's.
Boom.
Number 10.
Yeah.
Everybody is on the board.
Yep,
Denny's
job.
Number 10. Again, we are counting down the best family restaurant chains in America as voted 12,000 times. Muggos.
The International House of Pancakes has got to be on the list.
IHOP, or briefly named IHOB, number 3.
All right.
Oh.
We are running the board right now. We are moving on to Allie McKay.
Golden Corral.
Golden Corral.
Can I use that one?
Not on the board. Golden Corral.
Cheap people.
Running out of picks, I assume, to get to Golden Corral. Kevin Ryder.
Golden Corral.
Have you ever been to Golden Corral?
Not on the list.
I don't remember.
A lot of families in Utah.
I'm surprised you picked Golden Corral over Hooters for family food. Okay, let's go to Muggos.
TGI Fridays.
Yes.
TGI Fridays, number 9.
Love it.
All right, Mugs back on the board. We're going to Allie McKay. That went too fast to you, I think.
It really did.
Okay.
Who has the Bloomin' Onion?
Questions.
I was going to say, I would stay away from
Outback Steakhouse.
Outback Steakhouse, number 5, as she screams it at me. All right, we go to Kevin, correct?
Bob's Big Boy.
Bob's Big Boy.
Boom.
Not in the top 10. It is number 18. Muggos?
Let's go. Holy moly, I'm drawing a blank. Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese, not on the not in the top 10.
Oh.
It, however, is deep in the 20s.
Damn.
It is 29. Allie McKay, back to you. Too quick, I think.
Soup Plantation.
Oh. Not a list, although I'm a big fan despite the name.
A lot of families.
Yeah, a lot of families. Not in the top 40.
The best.
Not in the top 40. Last round.
Not in the top 40.
Not in the top 40, no. We're 2-2-1.
One for Kevin, two for me, three for us.
Oh, wow. Let's get to the final round then. Let's go, Kevin.
Hardee's.
Hardee's, not on the list, not in the 40.
Not in the 40.
No, not in the top 40.
Makes it so much worse.
All right, we're moving to Muggos. Again, we are talking top family restaurant chains in America.
Here we go. Hometown Buffet.
Hometown Buffet.
Nice.
Not on the list, which will get the chance. That'll give the chance to Allie to tie it up. Allie, What is one of the top 10 best family restaurant chains in America?
Sizzler.
Give me Sizzler! No, Sizzler not on the list. We have not time traveled to the 80s. So it is not one of the top family restaurant chains in America. So that gives Muggos the win, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So would you guys want to hear the top 10?
Yes, please.
Sure.
Okay, cool. So let's start with 15. We have Dave & Buster's at 15, mm-hmm. KFC at 14, Dairy Queen at 13, Subway 12, Fuddruckers 11, and then let's get into the top 10. First, number 10, you guys got Denny's.
See you at Denny's.
I pulled the clips of the things they end the commercials with.
That's quite a line.
Number 9, TGI Fridays.
Now at TGI Fridays.
All right.
Great clips.
Listen, I was surprised, by the way, how boring some of these ending of commercials are. Number 8, you didn't get Red Lobster.
Oh.
Endless Shrimp is back at Red Lobster.
Okay.
I was pulling these all last night and going, why don't they have catchphrases? None of them. Number 7, one of the great songs. You got this one, Chili's.
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back.
It's a good,
baby,
good
baby,
jingle right here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want my baby back.
Chili's, baby back ribs.
That's the best song about ribs.
Absolutely.
It's a true bop. 6, Applebee's.
Applebee's. Now that's eating good in the neighborhood.
All right.
That's their slogan, yeah.
Number 5, you got because Allie racked her brain a bit. That was the Outback Steakhouse.
Outback Steakhouse.
You guys know that in high school I went to the Outback Steakhouse because someone told me that the waiters have to have that accent, and then I got there and the guy's like, what would you guys like to drink? And I was like, I don't want to eat here anymore.
You thought they were all Australian?
Yeah, someone convinced me they're faking the accents. Number 4, you did not get. It is one of the best, Red Robin.
Red Robin.
Yum.
Yum? Is that their song?
Yeah, it's a good one.
And it is.
Number 3 you did get, that's IHOP.
IHOP.
Eat up every moment.
Sure. 2, I'm shocked. 1 and 2 were not taken in
okay,
this game.
Wow. Okay.
Number 2, it's where family always is, Olive Garden.
Olive Garden. When you're here, you're family.
I mean, oh, man.
It's an easy one. And the number 1 family restaurant chain in America you did not get, it's obviously slightly regional, but I did think you'd come up with it. It is...
Cracker Barrel Old Country Store. Eat, shop, relax.
Oh,
Cracker Barrel. It's based in family.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, a lot of families.
But congratulations to Muggs, who was able to pull that off. And that was this week's guest list.
The guest list.
It's a world famous K-Rock. It's Kevin in the Morning with Allie and Jensen. Allie is here. What's happening, Allie?
First of all, you're not off the hook for... you're binging a show that none of us have heard of.
Yeah, during the break you said, I binged a TV show this weekend, yeah. And then you named it, and both Allie and I said, that's a fake show.
We're going to talk about that coming
Are
up.
Are we? Okay.
Because first, I want to give you something, you guys. It's Tuesday, maybe you had yesterday off, so you're a little sluggish, or you worked yesterday and you hate everybody saying they had yesterday off. I understand. There is a show coming to Amazon Prime Video called Hunters that looks... incredible.
Can't wait.
A man who we're told quickly turned into a victim.
I don't know about all that, but it is starring Al Pacino. If that's not enough right there, guess who executive produced it? Jordan Peele. I mean, come on. Hunters is a story about a young man played by Logan Lerman who joins a ragtag group of Nazi hunters who tracks down these conspiring Nazis. Meanwhile, an FBI agent works to uncover it all. It is Pacino's first ever series.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it,
interesting.
I feel like it has to be good if Pacino's like, I'm in.
And Jordan Peele, right? And it just the trailers look awesome.
Yeah.
Comes out Friday.
Mm-hmm. So here's what's happening. They're having a huge fan screening and immersive experience on opening night, Thursday, February 28th.
Hoping without Nazis, no?
I'm going to start over because okay. I just gave like 8 words that were wrong in 4.
Give it.
Huh?
That's how gifted it was. I'm going to give you a pair of exclusive passes to the Amazon Prime Video Hunters fan screening and immersive experience on opening night, Thursday, February 20th, here in Los Angeles, hosted by Nicole Alvarez. Not only are you going to get to see the show, you're then going to bowl. You're going to have a 70s block takeover, an after party at Highland Park Bowl, 70s entertainment, New York City pizza, cocktails, bowling, music, and more. Honestly.
That's
so why not?
I feel bad for the people that then just get to go to like a premiere and they're like, wait, where's the bowling and the cocktails and the 70s vibe? No, suckers. Just the premiere.
Is it bowling for Nazis?
No.
You happy about that?
a pair of exclusive passes to the Amazon Prime Video Hunters. It's the fan screening and immersive experience. I want 5 winners to receive those pair of tickets.
Yeah!
How stoked is he? Let's take callers 1 through 5. Let's just make it easy. 1 through 5 right now. 1-800-520-1067. And you are going to be lucky.
Like the call. Now.
There you go. Guys, remember when we were talking about Billie Eilish and her brother Phineas writing pretty much a great 007 Bond movie theme?
Yep.
And we were wondering, oh, do they know anything about the movie? Are they given like little hints, whatever? We now know.
Mm.
Phineas spoke about the track's origins in a new interview with British GQ, saying that it's based on the first 20 pages of the film's script.
Oh.
Here's what he said. He said, "We wrote No Time to Die on a tour bus," which again, I mean, either they're in their bedrooms or on a tour bus. They will not go to a studio.
No studio.
They refuse.
Studios will ruin the run.
It really will.
Yeah.
He said, specifically in the bunks of our tour bus, we were given the first 20 pages of the script. I guess that's up to the point when the song comes in during the movie, right? That's how all of the Bond films open up. So we were able to read the first 20 pages, which was obviously incredible. It gave us such a good steer and such insight into whether the song would fall, where the song would fall, and the tone. It makes it easier than having to write the whole song based on the entire movie, or in fact, none of the movie. So Billy and I wrote the song, recorded the demo, sent it to them, and we finished it in London. Listen to this. With Hans Zimmer doing the orchestral arrangements.
Wow.
And also Johnny Marr from the Smiths.
Wow.
I mean, James Bond, Hans Zimmer, Johnny Marr, mind-blowing. You think, Phineas?
Wow, that's crazy.
That's nuts, you guys.
That's high praise.
Can you imagine you wrote a song in your tour bus and then you hand it over to Hans Zimmer? He's like, I'll take it from here. And then Johnny Marr's like, me too, mate. What?
Hmm?
I don't know.
Okay.
Wasn't great.
I liked it.
That's amazing, you guys.
Can we ask Kevin the show he's watching now?
Yeah, Kevin.
What's the TV show you're watching?
You binge-watched.
I binge-watched over the weekend.
Okay.
5 episodes of Strike Back.
And is Strike Back. That's soccer?
No, it's not soccer. It's British Special Forces. It's on Cinemax.
Is it a scam?
Are you making a scam?
Is it a scam?
No, it's season 7, by the way.
Well, I don't even know what that is.
Season 7.
Sorry.
It is season 7.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's on Cinemax?
It's on Cinemax.
Cinemax! He's watching Cinemax.
Strike Back.
By the way, they began season 8.
Oh, 8. Okay.
Oh, 8.
Yeah.
That's what I'm binging then.
Unbelievable.
So you're picking it up at season 8?
No, I watched every season.
You did not watch seven seasons of a show.
I've watched the show over the years as it's been out.
No. So you've been watching a show for 7 years and we didn't know?
Yes.
What is it? Is your favorite food still lasagna? We're learning so much about you. I feel like we're just getting into Kevin.
That's such a good... It's a Kevin pick.
It is, because you love those special agents kind of shows.
Special Forces.
Wow.
Strike Back.
Strike Back. It's a pretty good
show.
Wow.
Did not see that coming.
Pretty good.
I thought you picked it up at season 8. I'm like, I feel like you need some background.
No, I have all background.
Okay, wow. All right.
Can I list off some of the stars? You tell me if you've ever heard of them.
Yeah.
Philip Winchester?
No.
He's the star.
I remember him from Strike Back.
Okay.
Sullivan Stapleton, which sounds like a name I made up.
Sullivan Stapleton.
Michelle Lukes?
Nope.
Daniel McPherson and Warren Brown.
I don't know who any of those people are.
So it's a British show.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Kevin, I respect it.
British Special Forces. It's great. Dave, King of Mexico, he's the only other living person that I know that knows about this show.
I've never heard
of it.
That's it. I don't get Cinemax, though.
Okay. I only saw season 1, by the way.
Wow.
I mean, even he dropped out. He watched all of Big Bang Theory.
That's a lack of commitment on your part.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's wrap it up with some birthdays. Dr. Dre, Ike Barinholtz, John Travolta.
Adele Dazzy.
Molly Ringwald and Yoko Ono. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Don't worry, don't worry.
Stop doing that.
What do you think that one's called?
No idea.
I got a lot of worries.
All right. And that's what's happening.
All right. Did Shakira and J-Lo unleash demons on our souls?
Yes.
Yeah.
Next.
This is Kevin in the Morning on J-Rock.
And Omar has stepped into the studio. He's the guy that got in a fight over a timeshare.
Yeah. Almost came to blows.
Stupid bitch-ass salesman.
The salesman said, do you want to take this outside? The salesman said that.
I didn't know where I was. I was like, are you kidding me? Is this really happening?
Well, you were nice enough to say, I'll give you the hour.
Yep.
And you're supposed to give me a gift card at the end of that hour.
A gift card and a cruise and some tickets to a buffet.
And you said, sure, absolutely, but I'm being honest with you. I'm only going to be here an hour, and I don't have any interest in doing this. And they said, that's fine.
Yep.
But when it came time to crunch time.
Yeah, they tried to pressure me, and I didn't have a good time during that one specifically.
Really?
Yeah, but I have had some success in this.
Really?
And I
just sitting through the... The sales pitch?
Using a timeshare.
Right. Never use a timeshare, but I'm sure people out there use it and have a good time. But
I think we all assume that.
I honestly, if I'm honest, I have no idea what a timeshare is. I know like you own a property or something, but you can only go certain dates.
You're basically
and other
right.
People
yeah, you're basically
it?
Basically
that's
it.
It's a rental.
Yeah. Okay.
I assume the Airbnb industry has affected it.
Okay.
But it's sort of like you are guaranteed a vacation at a certain time every year.
Okay.
People have issues with that because you can't really mess with the dates too
much. Do you know the other people that own
no.
it?
No.
Oh,
no.
Ew.
It's like they sell every week.
Yeah.
To somebody else.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
They give you lowered rates, but the problem is that you're locked in at certain points every year.
And you can never get out.
Well, that
you can
does
never
seem
get
to be
out.
A problem.
There are companies that are there to help you get out of the timeshares.
Yes. You're kidding.
No, it's
like
almost impossible.
Help you get out of the contract.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's why we're going to take calls about this, right?
Yeah.
At 1-800-520-1067. If you've had positive or negative experiences with timeshares, because I've also heard every once in a while someone grew up with a great timeshare. I've heard people say that, like, oh, my parents had a timeshare and we loved it. Actually, I think my wife, I think she was involved in a very small timeshare as a kid with her parents.
I think we had a timeshare.
I think Danielle and I lived in a timeshare. It's weird because we move out every couple months to let a random family in.
That was quite the journey.
I'm putting this together in my head. We live in a timeshare.
How about that?
No, I have heard some people have good experiences, so who knows?
Look, if I was going to get one, I would get one in, say, Vegas, a place that I know I'm going to keep going. A couple times a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd use it, I would think.
I would think that would work because you know you're going to go there.
Right.
You know it's close enough. But we're talking about people who have like Orlando.
Like Bermuda.
Well, yeah, that for sure. But
or
I'm saying
Hawaii,
like,
even
Orlando, right? Like somewhere that you know you'll go with your family. We want to go to Disney World, whatever.
Makes sense.
But
sure.
The problem is kids with vacations, you can't predict where the dates are going to be and then you're stuck with a week in Orlando and you don't have the correct dates. That's where people fall into trouble, I think.
Yeah, for years and years.
Yeah.
People fall into trouble. It's crazy.
What else have you gotten from these meetings that you steal from a corporation?
So, yeah, I love just like sitting through these presentations.
Sure,
because
sure.
The one in Cabo was the best because we got a glass bottom tour.
Yeah.
One of those glass bottom boats. We got a dinner cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my kids, so it was for four people.
Right.
We got a whale watching. And we also got some jet ski rentals.
My gosh.
Yeah.
For
so
sitting an
for
hour?
One hour.
And person didn't fight. You didn't want to fight.
No, they didn't want to fight, but they did bring in, like, you know, the closer.
Yeah.
And that I'm sure that happens. And they try to really pressure you. But at that point, I was just like, I'm not in the market. And I was just like, la, 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 la. And they knew I wasn't going to do it.
They're
you know?
Sir, can you take your headphones off?
Yeah.
Just for the closer.
Please.
Just for the closer.
Yeah,
we want the closer to come
in. Stop listening
to
music for a minute.
And then on my honeymoon, I also sat through one, and this was crazy because they escorted us to our room, and they're like, hey, if you sit through an hour presentation, you could have this room. And it was an upgraded suite, so we got the upgraded suite, and we got horseback riding and scuba lessons all just thrown in. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was cool.
And they didn't give you crap.
No, these people were super cool because they were like drunk during the presentation.
Sure.
They were just there partying, so they didn't really care.
Hmm.
Yeah, so it was cool.
All right, we're going to take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. Yvonne, you hold on. Her parents have three of them.
Oh my God.
I'm excited to hear if it's good or bad.
And we will take the calls next on K-Rock. Just before we play Beck, let's take one phone call. We're talking about timeshares, good or bad experiences. Yvonne, good morning.
Hi, good morning, you guys. How are you?
We are good. Thank you. Tell us about your timeshare time. Share.
Okay.
Time.
So I wanted to get you guys up to speed on these timeshares.
Oh, okay.
I have
good.
A lot of experience managing my parents.
Oh.
So what it is you buy it up front, right? You pay a fee for it. And then when you want to actually use those weeks, and that depends on whether they give you 1 week or 3 weeks, you pay maintenance fees. It's like a quarterly maintenance fee. And they go up, and there's like a board of trustees and all this crazy stuff where you can vote. It gets very cultish, I guess you can say. So you have to be well
Really?
Worse on what you're doing.
How is it so difficult to get out of? It seems like it, really it would be is. A rent and like anything else.
Yeah, we hired a company at one point to try to get out of it, and they totally gypped us. Like, they never called us back. We paid like $1,400.
Wow!
So not only are timeshares tough, the people to get out of timeshares are tough.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. But yeah, so what you do is they'll give you a certain amount of weeks, and then you use it. You don't have, they don't tie you into a certain date, but they will tie you into a location. Now, say I want to go to Europe. Mine is in Cancun.
Okay.
I want to go to in Europe. I have to trade that week to a third party and pay a membership for them, which can range about maybe $600, $700 for a 5-year membership.
And oh, wow. Then I it's can like go. The movie The Holiday.
Yeah, exactly. It's very similar. So it's a lot of money involved. Fortunately, my parents kind of can afford it. So I kind of tag on with them. My brother and sister hate me for that. But yeah, there's a seminar that you usually have to participate when you get there. And they just try to keep you up to speed. And of course, there's
wait,
be
you have
standing.
To go to a seminar after you own it?
Yeah. And
what?
That's something
oh,
that you
no.
Do.
They don't give you anything for that one.
What?
No. Well, they do. They'll give you like food and stuff.
Right.
And sometimes they give you booze. Which is the good thing about it. But yeah, there are, it's pretty tricky. You just have to make sure. I mean, my parents are retired, so they take advantage of it. But you kind of have to have an open mind when you're going, as far as, you know, if you're really going to be utilizing it. If you're just a one-time vacationer, like maybe once every 3 years, it's not going to work for you. But
they somehow talk you into it, though. You end up feeling like this is the best thing ever.
They do. And then usually these places are beautiful. They're very luxurious, especially the ones in Mexico. We just traded to Cabo, and instead of paying for a double room for $1,700, we got it for $250. But
wow.
The dates are kind of weird. You have to go, and it's very you just have to be really well informed, and
well,
then it'll work out.
Yvonne, you've sold me on this because I love seminars. So I don't even like traveling.
Point. Are you guys interested in?
No, Yvonne. Get out of the phone.
Nope, thank you. We are talking about timeshares, good and bad. Peyton is on the phone from Mission Viejo. Good morning, Peyton.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
We are good. Thank you.
Good. So I thankfully have not had too many issues myself. My parents, so I'm one of 6 kids. Where when we were kids, they decided to buy a timeshare close to Disneyland, thinking that we would go every year, prices would stay around the same, everything would be perfect. But unfortunately, we only used it maybe twice in the entire time my parents have actually owned it, and every year they've been pretty fortunate to rent it out. And now they have another timeshare actually with Marriott, which they go to Maui every year pretty much.
Okay, so they use it every year when they go to Maui?
They use the new one they have, but they have one. They've had one since I was a kid. I'm 29 now,
wow.
And they've had it since I was probably about 6 years old. I would
wow.
say. So, and they could never get out of it.
Okay, question about the Disneyland one. So they've only went twice in those almost 30 years, and then
maybe twice, yeah.
Yeah. So then they're able to rent it. Do they make a profit on that rental, or are they just trying to keep the money they end up paying out in maintenance, kind of thing?
Pretty much, they're breaking even at that. Yeah, they sometimes make a little profit, but usually just breaking even.
Seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, tons of work. I mean, and those and all
the too much work, right?
The seminars. Yeah. Oh boy,
is it a cult?
Yeah, is it?
It's a cult, right?
It is. It is.
All right.
Drink the Kool-Aid.
Right.
Drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, Xenu comes down at the end of the vacation. Yeah.
Let's go to Jennifer in Claremont. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We are good. Thank you.
A long time, first time, and I really, really like the show. I miss Bean, R.I.P. Bean, but I wanted to say the show's great now.
Thank you, Jennifer.
I have had a great experience with my timeshare. I bought one in Cabo San Lucas over 20 years ago, and I figured out when I was buying it the price. I just divided it, and it worked out to having like $120 a night hotel room for a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured anywhere I go, I would pay that much money for a hotel room probably, vacation.
Sure.
And then I did join the club where you can trade it with other ones. I've traded it to Hawaii and all different kinds of places. You can trade it for cruises. You can trade it for New York City. So
it just seems like a lot of work.
I don't know, but she's making it seem so simple.
It's pretty simple. I mean, I pay the maintenance fees, but it's once a year. I have to deposit your weeks to get them, and the longer they're deposited, the more trading power you have, so you can upgrade your room to a nicer room, like, you know, to a one bedroom or something like that sometimes, depending on how long and where you're trading. They do have rules like I can't trade for another one in Cabo San Lucas. I have to go to mine.
Right, right. Right. So you have to stay within your place when it's your same same destination.
Hey, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Does it feel kind of like a cult?
No.
Okay.
Jennifer.
Do they make you wear a white robe and purple Nikes?
No.
Okay. No. Okay. All right.
Well.
Resort. They will call you every morning and say, would you like to come down for breakfast? And they're trying to sell you another week.
No, more. Jennifer, what? It's a cult.
It's a cult. And also, they make you shave your head when
There's
you go
that.
Down.
And you,
oh,
no longer talk, you no longer talk to your family.
No
that happens.
Yeah.
They come All looking right. for you.
That's creepy.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Christy at El Monte. Hey, Christy.
Hey, how are you?
We are good, thank you. Timeshares seem great to that last person.
Yeah, it seemed like it worked for her.
I used to work for a company that would try to get people out of their timeshare.
Oh.
Okay, so why is it
a timeshare contract?
Why is it so difficult to get out?
So it's all in fine print, but the timeshare contract, first of all, you can never get out of it, and your heirs inherit it.
No,
so
wait, hold
your
up.
Your contract's in perpetuity.
Hold up. So if your parents bought one, it's now your debt once they move on?
Yes.
What?
Okay, question.
How is that possible? Yes.
Question,
which is
Christy.
Why there's thousands and thousands of them for sale online for a dollar.
Whoa.
Are there really?
Yeah, I'm sure, because that's just the maintenance fees that you're due. Christy, are there better ones than others? Are you painting all of them as bad? No.
They're all the same.
Wow.
All the same. Even the Disney Alani one. It's all the same.
Right.
Christy, is it a cult?
Yeah.
Does it feel like a cult?
A cult?
It's not a cult, but I can tell you that it's definitely practically impossible to get out of it. It'll cost you tens of thousands of dollars to get out of one.
That's crazy.
The companies that are around to try to get you out of them, they themselves are practically scams, because what happens is they take your $10,000 mm-hmm. to get you out of it, and then all they're doing on the back end is they then start paying your facility fees.
Sure.
And I know that because I used to be the person who would use the CEO's credit card to make the payments.
Christy's part of the cult, you guys.
All day long to make payments.
She's part of the cult.
Before we went into the segment, too.
I long left this job.
Right.
And then what would happen is they would promise you that you would make all your payments on time, but inevitably they never did. So then it would go against your credit score.
What is going on?
And then contacting them and yelling, like, you were supposed to pay my credit, my payment, and you didn't do it. So then go, okay, well, we'll pay it now. And then I would be the person who'd have to go online and make all of those payments.
All right. So the timeshare is
to try to get caught up. And the and actually what was happening is on the back end, the company would collect many timeshares and then sell them back to the original company in a block at a loss.
All right. First, I'm nervous Christy gets paid by the word. Secondly, we got an article right before we went on air about a woman who's stuck in a timeshare as well. And she's been trying, and she paid $5,000 to a company who now won't call her back.
So the timeshare company is a scam and a cult.
And
then
the
companies
working.
That get you out of those, also a scam
they're
and a cult.
They're all working in cahoots together.
And they change their name. They go out of business and change their name, and they reorganize as an LLC and then reopen as, under a new name.
Unbelievable.
All right, so we're going in on timeshare together.
Yeah. Can't wait. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin in the Morning with Allie and Jensen. Allie is here. What's happening?
Well, what's happening is a lot of people went to see Sonic the Hedgehog this weekend, you guys. $64.3 million over the long four-day weekend. That's, by the way, the biggest North American debut for a movie based on a video game ever. Not bad, you guys.
Plans to see it, Kevin?
No, I don't have any interest.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's a perfect airplane movie. Very excited. That's like a perfect...
Just because you can't get away from it?
Well, yeah. It's just like, oh, yeah, I'll sit there for an hour and a half and watch this.
Zero interest for me.
Really?
Yeah. Same. None.
I was a Sonic player. Were any of you?
No.
I don't even know what it is.
All right. Fair enough. It's a hedgehog.
Yeah. And he like, eats
runs
things?
Around. No, he gets rings.
Okay.
Tries to get these rings throughout the... And it's a very fast-paced running game, because he's a hedgehog.
Sure.
Okay.
And he goes up in
very
loops
fast.
And running. And
are hedgehogs known
very
to be fast?
Yes.
Okay.
Incredibly
okay.
fast.
And that's it. He wears sneakers.
The hedgehog does?
Yes.
Well, that makes no sense.
Well,
does he walk upright, too?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
On 2 feet.
You need your realistic.
Yeah.
You need it to be lifelike.
My hedgehogs need to be
like
realistic.
The fans who, huge outcry because the film was released much later than it would have been because they fixed his human teeth because people lost it. Didn't look like the Sonic that I know.
Yeah.
That's odd.
It's going to set for a pretty bad standard
now. It's a bad precedent,
because this,
for sure.
This movie now made a ton of money.
Yeah.
It got good reviews for being Sonic the Hedgehog, and they
people
did listen to the fans.
Yeah, a great time at the movie theater. Jim Carrey, apparently, is great in it.
Ben Schwartz, friend of the show,
was
the voice of Sonic. He had a great time. He went to theaters all weekend. This movie is being celebrated.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, Sonic the Hedgehog, good job. $64.3 million over the long four-day weekend. Coming in at number two... Birds of Prey. Kevin?
Saw it, liked it?
Yep.
In a smaller theater, though, already. In a theater with 50 to 75 people.
Not in the
not in
full
a huge
Atmos
room.
Dolby,
no,
right, okay.
No. Ooh. Pretty small theaters.
That's not great.
That's not what you want.
Yeah,
but you did like it, Harley Quinn?
I did like it,
okay,
yeah.
Excellent.
Margot Robbie was amazing.
Yeah.
That's a difficult role to pull off, and she did it really well.
She's a treasure. She's very good.
Coming in third, Fantasy Island. Fourth, The Photograph. And number five, rounding out the top five, Bad Boys for Life. Kevin saw the number 10 movie, Downhill, which stars Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Will Ferrell, both incredible comedic actors.
Now, we were warned by the movie man on Friday.
Right.
Don't see it.
Yeah.
It's a terrible movie.
Yeah.
You still went.
But I thought... I like Will Ferrell, and I like Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
There's no way you won't have a good time.
Yes, because watching them is fun.
And sometimes you, of all of us, have thoughts on critics. You think maybe
I don't really care. Yeah.
Right. So you wanted to go see for yourself.
Yes, and it was worse than Russ told us. It was worse than the movie man said. Because there was no chemistry between them because of the storyline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Literally, it was them separated, and it was a serious story, and it was sort of sucky.
Oh.
That sucked.
Yeah, it was... a bad choice on my part.
Well, I bring that up because the movie that beat it for the ninth position is a movie that won the Best Picture win at the Oscars. Parasite pulled in $5.5 million over the weekend. That's a 234% increase in ticket sales and the biggest post-Oscar boost for a Best Picture winner in the past decade. So people saw that it won Best Picture, and they're like, I kind of want to go see that in the theater. $5.5 million for a movie that hasn't been out in a long time.
Yeah, considering the movie that came out last week with very famous people in it made less.
Yeah. Oops.
That's garbage.
Well, sorry to hear that, you guys. Sorry to hear it. So we talked in the last What's Happening about Phineas and Billie Eilish writing the movie James Bond's theme in their tour bus. They were given 20 pages of the script beforehand, so they knew kind of the tone that they were going for. In other James Bond news, due to the coronavirus epidemic, the new James Bond film, No Time to Die, has canceled its Beijing premiere, as well as the promotional tour with all their talent. It was supposed to go down in April. I can't even imagine the hit that is being taken at restaurants, at bars, at theaters, everywhere in China, because people are afraid to leave their house because of the coronavirus.
They said that the movie industry depended on those weeks of Chinese New Year and are losing hundreds of millions of dollars. The NBA, who's had a lot of issues with China this year, obviously, said they've lost $300 to $400 million.
Wow.
How about this, though? Some people in China are like, hey... how do I make a buck? Chinese bars, desperate for customers amid the coronavirus outbreak, are delivering booze specials to partiers holed up indoors. I respect it, you guys. They've offered home delivery happy hour drinks to customers, one establishment transporting margaritas in jars. I mean, come on.
It's pretty strong.
Yeah. You know, you're sitting at home. You don't want to go outside. You don't want to hang out with people at a bar.
Mm-hmm.
Why not have them deliver the booze right to your house? I say kudos, you.
They did. They did get a quick interview with one of the guys that they've been delivering to.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I swear, where?
Oh no!
Yeah,
what
he's
happened
there.
To him?
Yeah, he's there.
That's crazy times, guys. What do you think of this? Disney will start selling wedding dresses based on their princesses.
Oh my God! How did they not think of that?
Before?
To this
decades
point.
Ago.
Great question. Yeah.
Decades ago.
Wow.
Allure Bridals has teamed up with Disney to give women the chance to dress like their favorite cartoon on their wedding day. It's called the Disney Fairy Tale Weddings Collection. 16 dress line includes silhouettes inspired by Ariel from The Little Mermaid, Jasmine from Aladdin, and Cinderella. Prices range from $1,200.
Okay. That's the low end?
That's the low end.
Wow.
All the way up to 10 grand. Guys. Guys.
And they're going to sell like crazy.
Like oh, for sure. Hotcakes, you guys.
I'm looking at them right, at least sketches of them.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that they're intense.
Like, they're not like total replicas.
Right. They don't remind me of, other than the fact that you've told me and I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't think that they're from Disney.
Yeah. The actual dresses won't be unveiled until March during New York Bridal Fashion Week. But can you imagine, though, the Little Mermaid one? You're just wet. Just constantly wet.
Or you don't wear shoes because they've tied your legs. I mean, your legs are tied together.
Yeah. You're just hopping down the aisle.
Hoping I become a real woman.
They're not that.
They're not
realistic,
okay.
You guys, is what I'm saying. Jensen mentioned earlier that his wife has downloaded TikTok, and now they are both making TikTok videos together, and it concerns me.
It's embarrassing. We're sad about it, but yeah.
Are you aware of the new TikTok challenge currently happening?
Well, we do have our finger on the pulse. There are a few TikTok challenges. Which one are you speaking of?
I'm talking about Fox Eyes.
We do not know Fox Eyes.
Fox Eyes.
But we'll get on it. Let me know.
I think you need
to. Thank you.
Fox Eyes involves...
You're saying Fox, right?
F-O-X.
Okay.
Yes, Fox Eyes.
You shave off the outside half of your eyebrows to create the illusion of a fox eye. Like, their natural shape just kind of goes up. Mm-hmm. So you just take it right at the part where it just kind of gets high. Mm-hmm. And then you cut off the rest of your eyebrow. And then you post it on TikTok.
Okay.
I'm telling you, there's some great stuff going on over there.
Is this one of them?
No, it is not.
You don't want to
Would
see
you consider
kids,
this one of them?
You don't want to see kids shave their eyebrows?
I mean, a little
see?
Bit. A little bit. But I let me just add, somebody with blonde eyebrows, so I look like a fetus regardless, who plucked the heck out of her eyebrows in the 90s, because that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
They don't come back, guys.
Mm. Yeah, but man, you got it for the gram,
right?
For the TikTok. Got to do it.
I am worthless. I bring nothing to the table.
I mean,
Zero.
She should do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just do the Fox Eye Challenge. Oh, we're in a world of hurt, you guys. Some birthdays for you. Yoko Ono, Molly Ringwald, John Travolta, Ike Barinholtz, and Dr. Dre. And that's what's happening.
Great news next. Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin in the Morning with Allie and Jensen. What time for one last look at what's happening.
Do you guys remember back in 2011, Robert Pattinson was doing press for the movie Water for Elephants, where he was playing a circus hand in that movie?
Do you guys remember
that?
No,
I don't remember that at all.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
I don't remember that
at all. One of the greatest moments in media history.
You're just saying words.
Here's why I bring it up.
You guys remember Robert Pattinson's one film about elephants and chocolate and water? He did a bunch of media for it. It was great. Interviews.
He was asked on the Today Show. It became a big story. He was asked on the Today Show if he ever went to the circus as a kid.
What?
That classic moment in Robert Pattinson history.
To which Robert Pattinson said only once because a clown died.
What?
And Matt Lauer was like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah, I went and this clown died and everyone was running out. It was a horrible experience.
Okay.
And it was a real bummer of an interview. And Matt Lauer was like, wait, are you serious? And he's like, yeah, I'll never forget it. It was intense.
Okay.
And then a week later, he's like, yeah, I made that all up.
What?
And I have loved Robert Pattinson ever since.
He made that up.
And I feel like he does that a lot. Case in point, this interview that he just did for Allure. He said, lots of people tell me I smell like a crayon, like I'm embalmed or something. So he's talking about some of his favorite scents, and he said definitely the scent of when you're in love with someone, and the smell is incredible. It brings out like an animal state, an animal side of being human. And the worst smell, I mean, I don't really mind grimy stuff. I love the smell of things people really hate. But burning hair is revolting. Like, what are you even talking about, Robert Pattinson?
Robert.
And then he talks about how he never thought he was... should be up for any of the good-looking guy roles because he's always felt he was really awkward. He says, and then in Twilight, Edward is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. But when I turned up for the audition, I had done a job where I had dyed my hair black. I had an inch and a half of roots. I had waxed my body. And then I had a few months where I was just drinking beer all day. So I had this hairless, chubby body. I looked like a baby with a wig on. What? Is he just messing with every reporter now?
I feel like yes.
Oh, I respect it so much.
I feel like yes.
You guys, go back to that Today Show interview. Where
I don't need to. I have it tattooed, all the whole transcript on my back.
It's magic.
One of the most famous moments in media history.
Matt Lauer's really taken aback. Like,
well, of course.
Wow, that sounds awful.
Really? You saw that in real life.
He lied about the whole thing.
Love him.
God, it's so good.
Also, people that are mad about him and the Batman, they did like a screen test and showed it. You saw that this last week?
Oh, that it's incredible? Looks amazing?
I think it looks great.
Yeah.
And on top of that, people still mad about Robert Pattinson. Just watch Uncut Gems. It's now on Netflix. You can watch it. It just got added. He is an incredible actor. I could not be more excited about this.
Wait,
Good Time.
He's not in Uncut Gems.
Same directors, writers. Good
who's
Time.
Who's mad at about him being
Tons
Batman?
Of people. It
a lot of people.
A lot of backlash.
Fans?
No.
Okay,
just
people
like Affleck.
People who don't want him to be Batman.
And yet
he was so good in Good Time, and now it's on Netflix. You can watch it. He's a great actor.
He lied.
Lighthouse. Go see Lighthouse, which he's incredible in.
He lied about...
Yeah, he also deserves this. Exactly.
A clown dying in a circus. I respect it. I think it's amazing. I love him, and I want him to prosper in any way he can.
Agreed.
Anyone that makes Matt Lauer stop in their tracks, like, this doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Best news ever. Adele telling a crowd at a wedding... Yeah, next album's coming in September.
Weird place to make an announcement.
Well, she was officiating the wedding of her childhood friend.
She made it about her. Hey, guys, this is a great wedding, but my album comes out in a year.
She was officiating the wedding. Can you imagine? Do you take this man who's super stoked for my new album to come out in September?
Drops in September.
To be your lovely wedded wife. Well, it was her childhood friend, Laura Dockrell, who married a guy named Hugo White, who's a member of the band The Maccabees. They got married at a London pub on Saturday. I've never been more jealous to be in this audience. She's on stage singing Rolling in the Deep with a wedding band, and then she sings My Same, which is written about her best friend from childhood, Laura Dockrell. And then you look in the audience in some of these videos and you're like, is that Florence Welch from Florence and the Machine just singing along to all the words? Yeah, she was. It was Florence Welch.
Sounds pretty awesome.
It sounds like a blast, you guys.
She's such a butthole.
I don't think that's what we're saying at all.
Amazing. Remember I told the story of when I went to the Adele concert? I was so excited to see Adele.
Yeah.
And she starts singing and I just start crying.
Yep.
Because she's amazing. And then my bitch of a friend, Michelle Beadle.
Made me so happy.
Just looks at me and her face is probably like 6 inches from mine, but I was so in the moment. And I like look over and she's like, what are you even doing right now? What is wrong with you? She's just mean, just mean. And then I bought tickets to see Adele at one of her last concerts at Wembley. And then I was in the Uber heading for the airport and found out it was canceled.
Yes. Yes.
I was on a real run that year
of
things that I was super excited about that got canceled. It was a real gift, you guys.
Yeah!
I feel like that's mean that you're just celebrating.
Very happy about it.
That. Guys, live from Washington, it's Saturday night. Kenan Thompson, the longest tenured SNL cast member, is going to serve as the MC of this year's White House Correspondents Association dinner, the annual big old party where they're like, hey, celebrate us. Hasan Minhaj will be a featured repeat performer at this event as well. So I guess some laughs will be had. Jensen will watch it on C-SPAN.
Yeah.
Can't wait for you to let us know how
finally
it does.
Finally get to watch that channel.
Yeah.
Really been looking forward to it.
Every once a year, I'm just like, man, C-SPAN.
You live for it.
I know. I love the silence in between politicians talking. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The like meeting sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds very dull.
Yeah.
The worst ever.
Please, I'd rather sit in my bed, like just staring at a wall.
I feel like there's too many festivals because there's a new one called Seltzerland.
What?
Set to debut in Minneapolis, then New York, then Chicago, and 6 other cities beginning this spring.
Seltzerland.
Yeah, it's all about seltzer. White Claw, Natty Light, Smirnoff, and more. There's going to be food, games, music. I guess you have a whiskey festival. You have a beer festival.
I don't want to go to a seltzer.
I don't either, especially after hearing that the CEO said that hard seltzers have spiked over the past year, and they're not slowing down.
Nope.
Oh, sir. How dare you? All right. some birthdays for you.
Do we know who's performing at Seltzerland?
I don't know if they're going to have bands or if
what?
It's just...
No bands at a festival?
At like a famous whiskey ones or festival or a beer festival, sometimes you don't have bands. You just let the beer be the artist that you're celebrating.
But okay.
Feel free to use that, mm-hmm. Seltzer dude.
I just think, you know, you gotta book it knowing it's for Seltzer or whatever. So you have to think about bands that would be good for people getting drunk on Seltzer.
Okay.
Like Brian Setzer. or I
just because it call it Brian sounds Seltzer.
Because
like
his name sounds like it, yeah.
You're an idiot.
But then I'm also thinking, like, what bands would be good with Seltzer? Like, you're downing White Claws. What do you want to hear?
That's a great question.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
We'll work it out off air if
no
you want.
No one.
But if you're...
If I'm drinking Seltzer...
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a White Claw, and you're like, man...
Muggs is pointing
what
at
would you
something.
Think?
What are you pointing at?
Just read the note.
What would you? Who would you want to perform?
Where's the note?
Who would you want to perform? I always want the Foo Fighters to perform.
Okay.
But they wouldn't do that, I don't believe. I don't know.
Downing White Claws. I'm trying to think.
Okay. I don't have a note because I wasn't logged in. What is the note?
You'd be
say?
Downing Bud Light Seltzers because those are clearly better.
Right.
That's the note?
It's a dumb note.
That you wanted me to read?
No. No, it's important.
What he's saying is we are in cahoots with Bud Light Seltzer. But I don't think that we're making fun of Seltzer. I think we're saying it's good and that we're having a festival. Who would perform it?
Who would perform?
Yeah.
I'd say Brian Setzer.
Pretty good day over here.
This has gone well.
Good day.
Happy birthday, Yoko Ono, Molly Ringwald, John Travolta, Ike Barinholtz, and Dr. Dre.
That was good.
Mugs, POD. POD would be fun with a bunch of seltzers.
Sure.
Yeah.
Brian Setzer, POD. So far, we have locked in.
Harvey Danger.
Good one. He'd be good with, with seltzers. All right, move on.
I will be at the
Kevin Seltzer. Oh, he was the shortstop for the New York Mets.
Would he perform?
I don't
just
know.
Like maybe
signing
he'd
autographs.
Just take grounders?
Yeah.
He'd play
meet and greet.
Just take grounders. I'm going to head over to stage 6. He's just taking grounders.
I'm going to play Pepper with people who want to come play. All right, Mugs.
Can I go now?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I already got it out.
All right, good. Today is the last week. It starts the last week where you can come down to Del Taco and pick up a pair of lift tickets to K-Rock Storms Bear Mountain. I'm so excited I can't even talk.
I get it.
And we'll be at the Del Taco in Torrance today at 20135 Hawthorne Boulevard, 12 to 1.
First... Holy crap!
That's right. First 50 people in line will get a pair of lift tickets to K-Rock Storms Bear Mountain featuring Lovely the Band and some free food. Come join me, won't you? Bring a seltzer.
Thanks, Muggs. A 5 p.m. commercial for tomorrow morning, an all-new show. We've got Get Up on This. Mm-hmm. We have Animal Stories, and we have more tickets for you to see Incubus with 311 and Bad Flower tomorrow morning.